Hello there, friends and allies of the principles of a free tomorrow. Welcome to the Dews. That's right, episode dose, my peoples, coming at you 100 miles per hour with a brave new libertarian world podcast. Like how I snuck my Howard Finkel impression in there? Anyways, this is your boy, Chad, your friendly and faithful neighborhood libertarian, hunka-hunka-burning love himself, bringing you the sweet, decadent sounds of liberty. Liberty! I invite you to come walk through the fire with me, to caress the red-hot flame of freedom that burns within our souls. Anyway, enough of that. Thank you again for joining me on this momentous occasion, or not so momentous occasion. It's all relative, really, right? I mean, like, if you hadn't heard another human speak for years, or had been barricaded in a basement against your will with zero contact with the outside world, then sure, I suppose my soothing voice would be an absolute thrill, but barring that scenario, this is kind of a whatevs type of experience, am I right? I mean, what exactly does it say about you? What are you doing with your life that you have enough time to listen to a lunatic like me speak for any amount of time on any given subject? I mean, come on. Well, now that we've established that you don't have a life and you're basically wasting your existence on nothing at all, I wanted to talk to you about how I came to libertarianism. What? The epic story of how Mr. Taxationist Theft himself came to be? That's right. I want to talk to you about what my moment of awakening was and how I navigate this long road going forward. It's been quite the ride so far on this giant floating rock in the sky in my 31 years of being, and I want to open myself up to you as much as possible and give some personal background information that might help you better understand where I get these crazy ideas from, you know? A look, if you will, into the demented psyche of one Chad Barnes. Alright, well, where to begin? The first time I can remember becoming aware of politics, as we know it, was way back around 91 or 92. I was about 5 years old, I think, and I remember seeing Bill Clinton and all of his innate charisma and guile for the first time and having it explained to me that he was running against George H.W. Bush for the presidency of the United States of America and how big a title that was to have, you know? I mean, it's the president of the United States of America. I mean, I live in America. Anyway, my mom explained to me that this was a presidential race and that it would be decided by votes. I must not have understood or known what exactly a vote was and deduced that she meant vote, seeing as the only two words I took away from her explanation was occurring before me was boat and race. One of those words being completely made up by me, and to make up for the fact that I didn't know exactly what a vote was, I spent the next several years laboring under the delusion that the seat in the highest office in the land was decided via a boat race. Yeah, I know. A boat race. Adorable, right? I also vaguely remembered having seen and heard an odd-sounding little man by the name of Ross Perot, and I remember thinking, why isn't this guy featured more prominently in this presidential run? Why is everyone so sure that either George H.W. Bush or Bill Clinton would win this boat race, right? That I was certain was taking place. It was also exciting and exhilarating for some reason, you know, even in my clearly limited capacity to understand it all. Okay, guys, we're going to take a small break. We'll be back. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsors. Just kidding. I don't have any sponsors. Anyway, part two of episode two coming up next. Stay tuned. Hi there, humanoids. What the hell is going on between the sheets in my home? I miss you guys. That's all I'm saying. It's been a while, you know? Chad here. When we left off, I was talking about, or getting into rather, the 92 election in an effort to track the origin or the genesis in my political interests and the forthcoming evolution in social and economic understanding that would ultimately follow. So here's the thing about my situation, right? I come from a family of conservatives, and as such, they naturally extolled the virtues of George H.W. Bush and launched every character attack they could think of against Bill Clinton, of course, despite me knowing their political biases. All of the gripes they had against Bill Clinton would turn out to be completely 100% legitimate, but that's a story for another day. And so, being the good, simple, impressionable, agreeable little boy that I was, I adopted these views, and from that day forward, I would go proudly and recite my father's words when I was asked about politics by my peers in whatever remedial form of expression that took on. Because, you know, every kid's dad is basically an all-knowing superhuman figure to them at that age, you know? This would be the go-to pattern on through to the 96 election, when Bill Clinton went head-to-head with Mr. Punctuality himself, Bob Dole. Jesus. I almost fell asleep saying the name. Anyway, I would go to school and tell anyone who would listen why it was so important that Bob Dole wrestle control of the throne away from that slimy devil man, Bill Clinton. But alas, it was all for naught. You see, Bill Clinton, for all of his many considerable character flaws, the man could sell ketchup popsicle to a lady with white gloves, to quote the timeless American classic Tommy Boy. And Bob Dole, well, you see, he was Bob Dole. It felt like a big time college basketball game against two rivals with a storied past, you know? Like a UNC versus Duke kind of thing. The Democrat kids would come to school and brag about how their team won the big game, and the Republican kids, they would adopt the old, shucks, golly, oh gosh, we'll get them next time, you know, that strategy. And this, my friends, this is the true essence of it all. This is exactly how most people go about voting to this day as adults. I'm talking fully functional, paying bills and shit adults. But more on that some other time. This is all about me, baby. So Bill Clinton would go on to serve two terms, right? And I remember thinking, well, the world didn't end, right? I mean, my world didn't come crumbling down in a heaping pile of ash. You know, the playground I frequented didn't burn up in a firestorm or anything like that. All my friends were still alive. Cake, pizza, root beer, all of that stuff was still awesome, as awesome as ever. And then, Bill Clinton got some head in the Oval Office, y'all. Got some head in the Oval Office. And let's just shut it off there. That, my friends, is where we're going to cut this short, because I'm going to run out of time soon. And, we'll continue this topic later. We'll continue this topic into the next episode, because we'll get into all of the various transgressions beyond, you know, the Oval Office that Bill Clinton, you know, I would discover later on that made that shit, you know, trivial. But you guys are important people. You know, you got shit to do. Let's keep this to 10 minutes. I'm going to keep these episodes to 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes of your time, and I you know, you might learn something. You might find this entertaining, you know. But I'll catch you guys down the road. Stay free, my friends. Later.